Hey guys, I'm John, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Today we have someone very special to me. I know in all my intros I always say this is my really good friend or this is one of my best friends, but this actually is legitimately one of my best friends. And more than that, this is my little sister, Katie, that is speaking today. Katie is the secretary of Mukapa here at Moody Bible Institute. She is a sophomore, and she is studying TESOL. So I'm kind of messing with the format again. She also, kind of like Lizzie, in order to process all of this, wrote a creative nonfiction piece. So that is what she's going to be reading, and then we are going to kind of be discussing that. And because of the fact that our stories are very similar, we will discuss similarities in it. If you guys haven't been listening to season one, this is going to be new information. If you guys have, this will be old information, but just some stuff about me and my life that you guys should know before we start talking. This is an episode where you're going to hear a lot more about my life and my story than you have in a while. So it's kind of like me and Katie's episode together, but some information that you guys should know, some terms. She references Hillcrest. That is the international school that we went to in Nigeria. We referenced some of our other siblings, so I'm gonna just kind of tell you who they are. So I have an older sister named Sarah, who we talk about, who is biological. So I have two biological siblings, Sarah and then Katie, who you hear from. And then I also have two adopted siblings from Ethiopia. And so they are referenced there. Their names are Befkadu and Jerusalem. My family moved back to the U.S. in 2006, so that was when I was 10, and Katie was 7, and Sarah was 12. We moved to the U.S., lived in Cincinnati for a little bit, and then we moved to Florida for a year where my parents went through like a reentry program that Campus Crusade provides for them. And then after that, my parents felt God's leading to leave staff and get what I call boring American jobs. And from there, we moved to Mansfield, Ohio, where my parents have lived until then. This episode is also starting off a mini-series that I'm kind of doing in the middle of the season, which is on identity. So Katie is talking about MK identity and what that looks like and how that really feels. And then in the next coming weeks, we're going to explore other aspects of identity and what identity looks like and what it looks like to own your identity living in between two cultures. So stay tuned for that. So with that context and explanation of what you guys are about to hear, enjoy Katie as she tells her TCK tale.
I moved back to the States when I was 7 years old, and I've lived in the States ever since then. When we moved back, my siblings struggled a lot with the transition. My sister was 12, and she had a difficult time socially as she tried to assimilate into American culture. My brother was very angry at my parents and at the U.S. in general, very proud of his Nigerian home. I, on the other hand, was psyched to be moving to the States. I had a great childhood in Nigeria, but America was the magical place I visited on furloughs, where my grandparents gave me presents, where I was able to take real baths instead of bucket baths, and the U.S. was where Walmart is. Trust me, the Walmart cereal aisle is the most magical place for a Nigerian-raised 7-year-old. So we moved back to the States. As years went on, pretty much the only interaction I had with MKs were with my brother and sister. I was, along with them, very proud of my time in Nigeria. When my family would share memories from Nigeria, I would share mine too, but I quickly realized that I had a lot less time in Nigeria than my brother and sister did. It seemed so unfair. I didn't have enough time there. It took me a while to realize that we weren't ever going back to Nigeria, and I was going to grow up in America. I wouldn't be able to go to school at Hillcrest anymore, and my friends were really gone. After I really realized this, I started crying myself to sleep at night. Not because I miss Nigeria, but because I felt like I didn't have enough of it in me to miss it. I knew that I was going to grow up to be American. So being born in Nigeria became a fun fact I used when people would ask me to say an interesting fact about myself. And it was a good one too. I was the most interesting American of the bunch. But my family was still very proud of their Africanness. When my brother and sister joined our family from Ethiopia, we were even more African. We'd share memories from Africa and watch the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy. We'd even talk about how frustrating our friends were who didn't grow up in Africa. When I turned 15, I realized that I had been in the States for more than half of my life, and that was really hard to accept. I felt really insecure in who I was. I was an American who was strangely passionate about other cultures and other people, and very culturally aware, but I just tried to be American. I didn't feel like I had anyone to talk about my experiences that I had at such a young age. And I didn't know how to process the frustration that I was feeling. So I just kind of blended in. When I was a senior in high school, I went on a project to Port Shepston with MK to MK and was amazed to see so many high school students brought together singularly by their MK identity. I love the community that came out of that project. I thought, wow, missionary kids are amazing and they care about missions like I do and they care about other cultures like I do. I love this. So now the pressure was on. I wanted in and I wanted to be a full-on MK, but I definitely still felt like I wasn't. But I definitely faked it, and I milked my memories and struggles for more than they were worth. After I graduated high school, I assimilated into the MK culture at Moody. But when I'm with a group of MKs, often in the back of my mind, I feel like I'm not quite who I claim to be, that somehow I'm lying to these people that I'm with, and that I definitely don't belong. But I don't think I'm actually lying to them. I'm being honest in my story. I don't think that my friends have put this pressure on me, but I think I've done it to myself. Internally, I want so much to be able to honestly have more to say about my time in Nigeria. I want so much to have a different story. I want my parents to have stayed in Nigeria and for me to have lived the version of life in Nigeria that I have as a 7-year-old out into my teens. Because after I moved back to the States, life became really hard. I really want to have lived out this dreamy missionary kid life that absolutely does not exist and would not exist. But instead, God chose for me to come back to the States at 7 and be severely impacted by years of family difficulty in the States that has developed me into a person with a lot of conflict aversion, and I have a lot of fear because of that. But I know that through these hardships, I've come to see more of God's faithfulness and His purpose for His people. I know that my purpose is to bring glory to God, and He has had me do that through moving back to the States and trusting Him through trials. He's still teaching me to accept His control over my life. He planned for me to be born in Nigeria, and He planned for me to leave. Maybe I'll always have this deep longing for more time there, but maybe He'll fulfill that somehow.
TCK Tales is brought to you in partnership with the Moody Bible Institute chapter of MUCAPA. MUCAPA's goal is to help MKs and internationals transition into the U.S., as well as to be a bridge builder between MKs and non-MKs, or TCKs and non-TCKs. And they accomplish this through educational events and providing greater cultural awareness to campus. One of those said educational events is being put on in 2 weeks, actually. It is the How to Raise an MK Paddle at Missions Conference here at Moody. So if you're in Chicago or you're at Moody and you really love this podcast, please come to this panel. I will be one of the speakers, and we're just going to talk about what this podcast is about, just what TCK life is about. And this panel is specifically designed for people who are thinking about going to the ministry, just to basically learn from our parents' mistakes and continue our parents' successes and learn from our experience the best way to raise children within three cultures.
So obviously, we are siblings, as we've talked about. So we have very similar stories in that, like, we come from the same family and things like that. Yet, as you've kind of displayed in what you just shared, you had a very different psychological reaction to the move than I necessarily did. And you talk about that. Why do you think that is?
I think that I was so young. I was 7 years old, and my priorities were a lot different, I think. You know, I think as a child, you really just think about what's in front of you. And so what was in front of me was being able to be with grandma and grandpa and just like a new house, you know. And so like the initial move wasn't a big deal. But then after it settled in, it was a lot of a bigger deal. But also, because you and Sarah, like, were having problems, and you were definitely lashing out, mom and dad were trying to parent you well, and Sarah too, and I think I was the one who they didn't have to worry about. I mean, I was 7, I was 8, I was 9, so, like, I was the young one they didn't have to worry about, and so they didn't really try to talk me through things or try to help parent me.
So, like, when did it hit you? Like, did it hit you when we were in Orlando? Did it hit you when we moved to Mansfield? Mm-hmm. When did it necessarily hit you?
When we moved to Mansfield.
When you moved. Yeah. So, What were you doing when, like, we would have crying sessions with mom in our apartment in Orlando?
I don't really remember those.
You don't?
No.
Because I remember, like, there were three or four times where I just, like, I'd walk into, like, mom and dad's room, I'd be in the living room, and I'd just be like, I miss it. And mom would be like, me too. And then we would just cry. Or, like, Sarah and mom would just cry, or mom and dad would just cry as they were, like, going through the transition process. And I remember you being there, but I was just, because hearing this and then trying to fit it into timeline, because then you were like, I didn't start getting angry or lashing out to like junior high.
Right.
That was when I was very much like, everything that sucks about my life right now is a direct result of being in the U.S. and I hate it. Mm-hmm. It's your fault. I didn't want to move. And then I grew up and realized that, like, also I wouldn't have done a lot of positive things if we never moved, like, meet my fiance or learn skiing, or that was always the thing that I went through as I would walk on my walks. So for the listener who doesn't know, like, when I was dealing with a lot of these things in our house in Ohio, what I would do is I would just go on walks and I just scream at the sky. That's kind of how I deal with life, is I just go on walks and I just hear myself talk. I've done that here in Chicago. I just kind of distance myself from the thing that makes me angry, and then I just, like, prey vent. And so I would go on these prey venting walks, and then I would be like, if we never moved to the U.S., the thing that's making me angry would not be happening. And then I'd always be like, but also, because when I was really, really angry, I also really, really loved skiing, and I thoroughly enjoyed winter. So then I would also immediately go, but if we never moved here, I never would ski, and, like, I wouldn't be able to enjoy winter. And snow is still pretty cool. And it was just, like, a really weird switch.
Yeah, we had a neighbor in Mansfield who, like, actually came up to mom and dad and asked us, like, are you guys okay? Because your son is, like, angry and yelling, and we just want to check up on you guys.
One of my finest moments. Now, there's a portion in your story where you talk about, like, if we never moved, life wouldn't have been as hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonated with me in that, like, I very much had that idea of, like I said earlier, every bad thing that ever happened in our life in Mansfield was a direct result of the move. And if we hadn't moved, then none of those hard things would have happened. Do you, or did you, kind of have that idea? With that mentality?
I did, yes, but it was really hidden in a way. Even just recently thinking through some of the things that I'm struggling with and some of the thoughts that I've been having in regards to transition and community here at Moody, I thought through kind of what I shared, and I thought through my mindset and my attitude towards moving back when I was 7. And yeah, I feel like I have this idea that, like, if I really think about it logically, I know it's not true, but I still hold to it. I have this idea that if I had stayed in Nigeria and lived there maybe till I graduated high school, it would be just as good, like the same, like, fairy tale childhood memories that I had till I was 7. Because the way I look back on those were good times. I don't have a lot of negative experiences from my time in Nigeria, and I feel like those would have just, like, stretched out and been, like, fantastic and really great experiences up until my teen years. And I know that that's not true. And I know that God has completely planned for my family to come back to the States and go through all the things we did. But part of me just wish we would have just stayed in Nigeria and not had so many hard things happen to us. I wish it could have just been great missional life, you know? But I know that God had this plan, but part of me, like, doesn't want to accept it.
I think because I have that exact same mentality, because you only remember the positive things and, like, our experience and going through that. Cause, like, specifically with me, like, when the adoption transition was hard, or when I'd get into, like, when there was just the tough times that happened with the adoption, or I'd get into a fight with mom and dad, I would always think, if we stayed in Africa, this wouldn't have happened because not that event, because, like, if it was an adoption thing and the adoption was hard, it was, like, in my mind back then, it was very much like, if we stayed in Africa, we wouldn't have adopted. Mm-hmm. Therefore, this situation wouldn't be happening. And I think the concept of nostalgia has really, like, been exemplified in the way, like, I view Nigeria. Because I also, like, being, and you can talk about this, like, being on Mukapa and working with MKs, like, I see how hard it is and all the, like, the entire purpose of this podcast, like all the things they go through, and I don't necessarily have some of those issues. Like I don't have the belonging issues. I can drive 6.5 hours and go see my family. Mm-hmm. I have a place I can call home and a place I can belong to. I have solid friend groups. Whereas some of my friends here, they're like, my mom and my parents are halfway across the ocean. I don't get to see them on holidays. Like I don't get to do this because they're still active. Yet at the same time, because my very positive view of Nigeria was all wonderful and magic and rainbows, I'm like, I want that still. Or even I talk to friends from Nigeria who stayed past us and they talk about like the bombings and the evacuations and having school canceled because it's unsafe to go there. But that still doesn't connect with me. Subconsciously, I'm still like, no, but if we had stayed, it would have been fantastic and it would have been great because nothing ever touched us while we were gone. Like, I forget that Dad almost spent the night in jail, or that, you know, like hearing other stories from like the Arvidsons, who are MK friends of ours from Mansfield, who also lived in Nigeria, about like terrorism and bomb threats. And you forget those things because you only remember the positive. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks broadly just the idea of nostalgia in general. One thing you talk about as well is wanting to be a part of this club or whatever and not feeling fake. How is that? How are you reconciling your feeling like a quote-unquote MK poser with your now work on Mukapa exec this year?
Yeah, very good question. I am so thankful for Mukapa and the opportunity to be a part of ministering to MKs here at Moody. But I think that the Lord has given me this opportunity because there are certain things that I have dealt with, some things I've shared in my story here, but other things as being a part of being an MK and being involved in some family conflict and relational conflict that I think can be really helpful in me as someone who speaks truth into someone else's life. And just being in the position of like Mukapa exec gives me that platform to share that. Maybe people are a little more willing to listen if I can be helpful. So I'm thankful for that opportunity, but it doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes I do feel like, oh wow, this MK is struggling with this and I feel totally out of the water and helping them. But that keeps me humble. I know that I can't be the one to solve all their problems. I haven't done a dissertation on TCKs and how they struggle so much with all these things. I know about it from family experience and from friend experience, but I do feel like sometimes people, MKs, are talking and I just kind of like nod along, but I don't relate, and I don't think that's been reconciled yet. It just kind of is a reality.
I know we've talked a little bit as we were prepping for this about your, like why you feel necessarily the need to be a part of this club. Because for us specifically, the two of us, like it, our quote unquote MK-ness came down to choice just because like a lot of the people we'll talk to and a lot of the TCKs we interact with, like that's been their life. Mm-hmm. They were born there. They lived there. Yeah. It was like sophomore, junior year. Some of them, their parents are still on the field. And they transitioned in college, whereas for us, like both of us have now lived a majority of our lives here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. in the same house, in the same town, where we are still novices because our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-grandparents didn't build a house and found the town, and we've been living here, and my grandma met my grandpa in high school, and then my mom met my dad in high school, and then I met my wife in high school, and my kids are going to fall in love with the neighbor's children, and American dream type stuff. So we're still a novice in Mansfield, but at the same time, like we're way more Americanized than other people. And I think the only person who's traditional MK would be Sarah, because she was much older and well into her formative years. And so do you think a part of like wanting to be a part of this quote unquote club was observing Sarah legitimately go through things that she needed to go through? And then watching me being like, I need to go through those things too. I must do this. And then being like I think the way I summarized it last time we talked with Sarah was like, I'm different and I messed up. And me being like, I need to be different. Therefore, I need to be messed up. And you being like, I'm not different. Should I be messed up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I feel. It was observing you guys, especially you, John, in like, wow, like, I'm an MK and that's who I am, and I'm African and I have all these problems and that's what I identify with. But then I was watching that and I saw you struggle, and I also saw you find belonging in the MK community, and I was like, wait, do I need that too? And wait, should I be a part of that? And I thought about it, and I thought, like, why have I chosen to, like, even in when I was a senior, go on the MK to MK trip, and why have I chosen to be involved in MK community here at Moody? Like, I know a lot of people who have had similar missional experiences as me and moved back when they were 5 or 7 or 9, and they don't identify with being an MK. And I wonder, like, wait, why did I choose to do that? And why am I clinging to this MK identity? And I think it's because of that first MK to MK trip and the community I found within that. Because, like, MKs are amazing, and they're so, I'm generalizing, but a lot of the MKs that I've encountered are so, so welcoming and willing to talk about things closely personal to them. And in that way, we're able to become close. I feel like oftentimes when I interact with people who are nationals, this is generalizing again, but it takes a long time to get close to them. And they have these barriers, and like, you tear them down through small talk and like a little bit deeper small talk and over. I'm thankful for the MK community, but I wouldn't give it up, even though I do feel a little bit like I don't belong to this place that so many people have like found belonging. I know that I'm loved by them, and I know that it's worth it to be involved in the community and to serve the community here at Moody.
One thing that might help in just figuring this out is something I figured out when I was serving on Mukapa as well, and I was like, still, because my freshman year I also very much felt like, oh, I'm kind of a faker. It's easy to like have belonging and find belonging and enjoy that belonging on a month-long trip. But then when you go to school with people who are like crying because their parents are still overseas and you're not going to talk to them, they're not going to see them over Thanksgiving, and you being like, oh, well, I live in Mansfield, I'm going to go home and like my family is perfectly safe and I talk to them probably not as much as I should. But Michelle Phoenix does this thing where she talks about like the benefit of being a TCK and being able to be like, she shows a bar graph of like people of one color and people of a different color, like red and blue, not like black and white. And one is like Americans and one is internationals. And then because of the ease in which we adapt and consistency with transition, we are able to like jump between friend groups and secular groups, and we can be that go-between. And the way I viewed my position in Mukapa is like, I am 50% TCK, 50% non-TCK. So therefore I'm able to be the go-between between Mukapa and the non-Mukapa people. Mm-hmm. And I viewed myself as being like an asset to the whole, we want to be able to bridge between. And so being able to be like, go to an American who is frustrated with his roommate being super open, his MK room, and being able to be like, yo, like this happens, like I understand. And being able to then go to the MK and being like, yeah, don't do this. This doesn't work. This, you know, and kind of having that, like being the MK to the MKs, I guess is the best way to put it. So I don't know if you can reflect on that and think of that. It's funny how you say you observed me finding that belonging and you want that. And then on the flip side, like I was always very much jealous of your relationships and the way you were able to like, you were able to seamlessly transition into like quote unquote American life. You have a best friend. I never had a best friend in high school. And like, I was always like, I was very happy for you, but I was always kind of like, how does she get something that I don't, you know, like, what is it that she understands about living here that I don't understand? Mm-hmm. And it was very much me being like, no, I'm different. I need to be different. You all suck. And Sarah was like, yeah, I'm different, but you know, hey, we are similar. Like, Jordan, let's be best friends. Mm-hmm. And then you were just like, Katie. And Katie was like, Katie, we have the same name. Let's be friends forever. That's literally how I discuss the origin of your friendship. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's exactly how it happened.
And so you were just like, and now you have like an incredible friend that will like still visit you. And I didn't have that. And I haven't had that. And even like people in high school, there's people I still care about and people that are going to be my wedding, but they're still not like, they're not that. Mm-hmm. They're not people who my parents consider a second child, or my siblings can consider a second sibling. Like, I basically consider Katie a second, a third, mm-hmm. a fourth sister at this point. And I see that portrayed in TV. And I think it's also because I'm a guy and guy friendships are hard. Mm-hmm. But I just want to encourage you, like, you observe me and you're like, oh, he finds that belonging and I should be like this. And I was always very much like, what does she get that I don't get? Mm-hmm. But I was being the older brother and also wanting to be different. I was never like, show me how to make friends. Because mm-hmm. that's also really weird to ask your baby sister. Show me how to make friends. But yeah, I just want to leave you with that.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for that friendship, and God really provided. And I know that, like, socially, I didn't really struggle when we moved back to the States. And I know that there's a lot of MKs who haven't been able to keep friends from moving so much and from having that, like, social transition difficulty. But I'm really thankful for that friendship. But also, like, within that, like, Katie's not really someone that I can talk to about, like, MK things. The very few that I struggle with, things similar to what I'm talking to here from my story. She'll listen, but I didn't really have anyone to talk to about the things that I was feeling. And I didn't, for some reason, I don't know why, I didn't feel like I could talk to you, John. But like I had all this like sadness and this feeling of like, I want to be Nigerian like you and Sarah, but I'm not. I'm completely American. And I'm thankful that I could assimilate into culture and find a friend. But also, like, where's my Africanness? Like, I have the poster of Africa on my wall, but like, that's it. You know, it's like, that's the extent of my Africanness. And I wanted a lot more. And I feel like I would trade a lot of things to have that. Like, when I really, really think about it, I wouldn't. But part of me really would just give anything to have that time back.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. That's very similar to what just every conversation with Katie is like. It's a blessing to have her here on campus with me and to have family somewhat close. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and review our podcast. It helps other people find out about it, and it puts my podcast on their recommendations list, and it just is a great way to get the word out. Also, continue to tell your friends and to post about it on Facebook. I've had some interactions with some people and it's really fantastic. So continue to post about it. Like our Facebook page, comment. Our Facebook page is tcktales@facebook.com. And we also have an email. So if you want to reach me in any way and just talk and share and figure out how to share your story, and you're not on Facebook or you don't want to use Facebook because it's too public, shoot me an email at tcktales@gmail.com. And we'll dialogue and we'll discuss. It'll be exciting. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you guys next week for another TCK Tale.